Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Book 5 of The City of God, Augustine of Hippo engages in a long and somewhat complex discussion about the compatibility between two seemingly incompatible doctrines. One of these is the freedom of the human will, or freedom of choice, and the other is what we call divine foreknowledge, the idea that God would know everything that is going to happen from eternity or from the inception of things. And this was not a problem that came up uniquely for Christian philosophers and theologians. As we see, it had already been discussed quite a bit by ancient Greek and Roman philosophers long before Christianity came on the scene, because it was felt to be quite an issue. And there are a range of different ideas or doctrines on this convoluted question. So the core issue here is, if God exists and God does have foreknowledge of everything that is going to happen, that means God knows in advance, is freedom of will actually possible? Freedom of the human will. Because it seems that if God knows everything, knows future contingents, as they're called, or the things that are going to happen, if God has sort of a propositional knowledge that I will, at this point, walk across the room and address you with these very words, then it seems like I don't actually have a choice in it. I have to do it. It happens by necessity. And you can take God out of the picture if you like. You can substitute some sort of mechanistic picture of the universe, or, you know, any other way of having something that we could call fate or necessity ruling. If that's the case, then it seems that we don't have free will. And Augustine is going to place himself here in conversation with Cicero, a earlier non-Christian Roman philosopher and statesman. Cicero wrote a book called On Fate, in which he discussed this very problem. He also discusses it to some degree in On the Nature of the Gods and On Divination. And Cicero opposed himself to the Stoics on this matter. The Stoics were a school of philosophy that, among other things, held that there is a God, which they called Zeus, and understood as this divine logos permeating everything. They thought that Zeus was fully rational and also had a sort of providential care for every single thing within the universe, so everything is set up, structured in certain ways. And they also held that everything is connected together in some sort of causal nexus. So the Stoics were willing to say that there could be divine foreknowledge. That's why they thought there was divination. And Cicero is going to attack them on this. Now, the Stoics, of course, didn't go all the way to saying everything is totally necessitated. They said some things are not up to necessity. They are up to us. But the kind of causes that we are also within this vast causal nexus. And you can interpret their position in various ways. But one way of interpreting is, we don't really have free will. And so Augustine is having Cicero engage with the Stoics and say, listen, because there is divine foreknowledge, everything is fated, which means that we don't actually have free will. We can either go along kicking and screaming, but we'll still have to go along, or we can agree to it and follow along with it. That much is at least up to us. Augustine takes Cicero as developing a different alternate position on this. Cicero wanted to say that there is no knowledge of future events. So there's no foreknowledge either on the part of human beings or on the part of God. And what this would mean is that we would in fact have freedom of the will. So Cicero is denying one thing in order to keep another thing, which he sees as incompatible. Augustine says Cicero doesn't really see that the consequence of this is that he's essentially in the same position as the fool in the Psalms who says there is no God. The fool says in his heart there is no God, because to deny foreknowledge is to deny that God is, in fact, God. Point that we'll come back to momentarily. So this is felt to be a central problem on the part of Augustine. And Cicero is, in effect, putting us in a dilemma, he says. If the knowledge of future things is granted, there follows a chain of consequences which ends in this. There can be nothing depending on our own free wills. If there is anything depending on our wills, we must go backwards by the same step of reasoning till we arrive at the conclusion. There is no foreknowledge. How do we do this? We go backward through this. If there is free will, all things do not happen according to fate. If all things do not happen according to fate, there is not a certain order of causes. If there is not a certain order of causes, neither is there a certain order of things for known by God, and if there is no fixed and certain order of causes foreknown by God, all things cannot be said to happen as he foreknew they would happen, and so there is no foreknowledge of future events in God. So we're placed in a dilemma here, according to Augustine, by Cicero, where we either have to choose one or the other. And it's a dilemma because we don't want to choose either one of these. Because if we say, well, there is no causal nexus, it looks like everything is kind of random or arbitrary. But if we don't do that, then there's no human free will. And then that's not only a troubling conclusion for us, that has all sorts of other moral implications. Like, well, if somebody does the wrong thing, are we right in punishing them? Or should we just say, well, no free will? So what is the solution to this? Augustine says, for the religious mind, there is a solution. It's a both and rather than either or. And he says that you can believe this by faith, that there is divine foreknowledge and there is free choice of the will. That's an option. But Augustine doesn't want to just stop with saying God's mysterious ways or something like that. He wants to have a rational explanation of this because he is not just a Christian believer, but a Christian philosopher. And so he's trying to engage with the ways in which previous philosophers have made sense of this in the past. So how does he do this? His argument runs along these lines, or you might say his rational explanation. So one central aspect of this is realizing that wills are in fact causes of actions. So they're part of whatever order of causality we've got going on. As a matter of fact, they're included in the order that would be grasped by divine foreknowledge. That is, God, in seeing us ahead of time, and we'll get to the ahead of time in a little bit, doing the things that we do because we willingly choose to do them, sees us willing that. And that willing is not something that's determined by God seeing it ahead of time. God sees it ahead of time because we do, in fact, will to do that very thing. So we become free causes, you might say, within this causal nexus. He says, it does not follow that though for God there is a certain order of all causes, there must be nothing depending on the free exercise of our own wills. Our own wills are included in that, which is embraced by his foreknowledge. Human wills are causes of human action. He who foreknew all the causes of things would certainly among those causes not have been ignorant of our wills. So when I choose to cross the room willingly, because I could have stayed back here, God knew that I would choose to do this in order to demonstrate something to you. That's how the line of reasoning goes here. He also says that Cicero and the Stoics are kind of playing around with ideas in a way that doesn't get them what they want, but a way that helps us understand things. He says everything does happen by causes. And the Stoics and Cicero were, you know, sort of trying to classify the different types of causes that would be involved. One of them is the material cause, and Augustine actually rules that out. He says material causes don't actually determine anything. They're more determined than anything else. They're more made rather than making. But we can talk about natural causes, the sort of order of the universe itself and all the causal mechanisms. And we can talk about voluntary causes and fortuitous causes. Fortuitous causes would be those that we don't really understand. They seem to be sort of chance. And Augustine says, listen, you can either look at them as not really being causes, or you can say if they are causes, they essentially can be rolled into the natural causes. And he says, natural causes are actually determined in one way or another by God, whether directly or indirectly through some sort of causal chain. But then there's also voluntary causes, which are due to particular wills. Those would include the will of God, but also the wills of other created spirits, as he calls them, the good angels and bad angels. But putting that aside, there is also the voluntary choices of other human beings, including ourselves. So you can say, well, you know, the environment that I grew up in determined me to act and think and, you know, behave in certain ways. That entire environment that you're talking about is the product not just of natural causes, but of a whole ton of voluntary causes. You know, the street went this way. They decided not to put a bus line. This area is in poverty because all the businesses pulled out. Those are voluntary causes within this way of looking at things. The other thing that he says that's particularly interesting here, going back to this issue of that Cicero had raised, is if God were in fact not actually prescient, if he did not have foreknowledge, then God would not actually be God. God would be something lesser than whatever it is that we understand to be God. So what he's saying here is, if we take foreknowledge away from God, let's not even call that God anymore. So we have to have free causes, and we also have to have a God that can see everything from the very beginning, that is knowledgeable or conscious of what it is that we will before we even do will it. He also has this very interesting discussion that helps flesh out this entire doctrine about wills being, what are wills? Wills, he says, are not subject to necessity, at least in certain matters. Now, one example of a matter that we don't choose, we're all going to die someday, right? Unless there's some sort of amazing life extension technology that we see in science fiction novels or fantasy stories. But in general, we're all going to die. And I suppose you can die willingly or unwillingly in certain respects, but ultimately it doesn't matter whether you will it or not, you will die. But when it comes to large variety, the host of our actions throughout life, putting on this tie instead of another tie, not wearing a tie at all, shooting this video or not, that is up to us. Our choices, our motivational factors, our deliberations can definitely be given parameters, given orientations and directions by all sorts of things. But ultimately, according to Augustine, we do choose. We engage in actions, as he says, because our wills exist as wills, we do what it is that we will, all other things being equal. And we don't do the things that we don't will. So he says here that we do whatever we do by willing and what would not be done if we were unwilling. So we can think of many examples of this in our life, and you could say, oh, well, you're just rationalizing that after the fact. There's no one thing you can point at that is free will inside a brain scan or something like that. And Augustine says, that's fine. I'm not talking about that sort of thing. Just think about your own conscious perceptions. Do you actually will things freely at some point in time? It doesn't take every single decision being free. All it requires is that at least some are. And then he says we can also suffer things unwillingly, right? We can have things imposed upon us. I don't like, for example, getting old and, you know, my beard turning white and my mustache still being brown, but now getting white as well, while my hair is mostly brownish red, because I think it looks kind of silly, right? I'm suffering that unwillingly. He said, well, go get yourself hair dye. That's a choice I could make, right? But then I don't choose exactly how the dye works and stuff like that. And I don't choose whether I'd have to pay for it. There's all sorts of things that we don't actually choose, but are imposed upon us. But those are imposed precisely because there is some other will that is determining things. He says a stronger will. It could be understood as the will of God setting up the natural order so that, you know, this is the way bodies age, right? Given the genetics that I have. Or it could be voluntary things. I have to pay if I want to go get hair dye to indulge a kind of vanity. All of that is determined by somebody making a voluntary choice. So you don't get away from will that way. And the conclusion is that God knows there is something in our will. He says we're not by no means compelled retaining the prescience of God to take away the freedom of the will, or retaining the freedom of the will to deny that he is prescient of future things. We embrace both. And what you're seeing here is Augustine providing a philosophical account or justification for something that Christians believe by faith, but he's trying to provide an account that could hold up even for non-believers and address somebody like, say, Cicero. So in Augustine's view, there is no inherent incompatibility between the prescience of God or whatever else you want to substitute in its place and human free will. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.